You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by X Chair. Your body and your work deserve the best office chair in the world. Trade up to X Chair at xchairdlb.com. Dan, after a strong week one, he was back. After a poor week two, he was back to being a punchline for gas bags like you. But with two more touchdown passes yesterday, and more importantly, no interceptions, combined with a big road win in Foxborough, and despite only throwing for 128 yards, Dan, for the second time in 3 weeks, make no mistake about it. Jameis Winston is back. Life rule, never, ever take a red rifle for granted. A tradition unlike any other. The Josh Gordon reinstatement. Death, taxes, and trouble for John Jones. Bones. The big thumbnail, oddly, is the trickiest of the fingernails to cut. Dangerous game. Be careful out there.
Really?
It's a dangerous game. I know what you're thinking. There's a lot of surface area there. It should be easy to cut. I am telling you, very dangerous game. You cut too much, it hurts, the whole deal. You're not as precise because of the surface area.
Can you just tell me how this happens? Because I'd been noticing that you had some claws developing. Your fingernails were pandemic long in a way that made me uncomfortable. And clearly, your weekend observations are just literally clipping your nails and then writing down a note. Yeah. Is that how that works?
Yes. Yeah. I don't write it down. I just, you can hit like a thing where you just speak it into your cell phone. It shows up on your notes. I just learned this.
You're like, it's like you're calling your assistant. You're writing notes to yourself while clipping you. That's the effort you're putting in around here.
Yes. I speak into my phone. I say big thumbnail, tough to cut. And then I work it out from there.
Comedy genius.
Headline, Clippers. Unsure of the time frame for Kawhi's return. Aren't we all? After that performance by Fitz and the Tantrums to open up the new arena, he may never come back. By the way, when you sign Kawhi Leonard, you sign up for not knowing. Hey, how's Kawhi? Don't know. Hey, is Kawhi playing tonight? Not sure. Hey, is Kawhi coming to work today? I don't know.
I feel like that last one. He's showing up.
I have some mail for Kawhi. Where should I send it? Don't know. That's where you live. You live in, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the address. The mailing address.
Things to ponder. Why does Vanderbilt have a football program? The Commodores. You know what the V in Vanderbilt stands for? Not victories. Notre Dame. Statement game. Jack Cohn. Revenge game. Kevin Austin. Notre Dame. Best wide receiver I've seen all year. Not playing for Alabama. Dan, you know what day of the week Kevin Austin's going to be playing on soon?
Sundays.
And the occasional Monday. Once a year on Thursday. And perhaps throw in a Saturday every now and then. Right. How about that?
So basically all the days but a couple of them. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. Few things more entertaining than Wisconsin being forced to throw the football. Did you see it?
I did see it. Wisconsin annoys me. It's always that guy. Notre Dame can't block anybody, Stugatz. They're going to get eviscerated by one of these top teams.
4-0.
I know.
But what's Wisconsin had to throw? I mean, things got interesting.
It's always a disaster whenever Wisconsin has to throw. Mertz. Come on. You can't win. You just can't win anything when you're Wisconsin and your quarterback is named Mertz.
Dana White said John Jones has a lot of demons. Yet, you'd put him out there to fight tomorrow if you could. Dana White, pretty certain you're not lacking in the demon department. You know what the D in Dana stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Demons. You know what they say, Dano? We all have our demons, which leads me to my top five demons.
Wow, this is very exciting. Yeah. Oh, look at you got Billy's attention.
Number five, Cheetah Hallandale. Number four, Cheetah Pompano.
Okay.
Number three, Cheetah Palm Beach.
It's unbelievable.
Number two, the Bull Bar. And number one, Dano, Seminole Coconut Creek. My demons.
The Bull Bar is so bogus. You've never been in the Bull Bar.
I did once with Murph. I mean, you haven't been to the Bull Bar unless you've been there with Murph. It's a whole different experience. No one knows who Murph is. He's a crazy person. I love him. But he's a big UM fan like Mike.
He had purple teeth all the time because of the wine.
Because of the wine. He took me to the Bull Bar. Dangerous. Demons. Lael Collins. Cowboys. Trying to bribe an NFL drug collector.
It's so good. Such
Sir,
a good story. Such a
never good story. Has the Stugatz been stronger than it is in you, my friend.
He missed seven drug tests and then tried to bribe the guy.
That's what you do.
I mean, it is what you do. It is what you do. Let's just all be honest
You're
about it.
You're out of options.
How does this not happen more often?
Patrick Mahomes, move over. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Justin Herbert. You know what the M in Mahomes stands for? Move over. Justin Herbert. Jesus. And by Jesus, I mean he might actually be Jesus. The Lions trying the old draw the defense offsides, yet somehow drawing themselves offsides.
Is there anything, put this on the poll, Guillermo, is there anything more frustrating coming from your offense than the false start on fourth and one?
They all jumped.
It's got to be the thing that enrages people the most about their offenses.
Marquise Brown. Probably don't want to leave the hands back at the hotel. Mac Jones. Might want to consider LASIK, Ryder Cup, Saturday afternoon, chippy, Vikings, Seahawks, wide receivers everywhere.
So many. It was like an orgy of wide receivers.
Anyone who plays the Jets looks like they could be the team that's going to win the Super Bowl. Florida, that 2-point loss to Alabama, keeps looking better and better. In fact, it's the best win on your schedule. Jameis Winston leads the NFL in a little metric I like to call LASIK +++. How about that? Had the Lions money line. You have to be tucking kidding me.
That hurts.
It really did. A small amount of the money line, but enough hurts. That it made it hurt.
It still hurts.
It deserved it, Mike. Death, taxes, and considering a week 4 waiver on Peyton Barber after what will end up being his only good game of the season. I'm going to fall for it. I fall for it every single season. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get my guy. Dan, if Jamar Chase played baseball, you know what he'd be? A home run hitter.
He's very good.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's fun.
I think the Bengals are good.
You keep saying that.
How could you not?
I'm just not sure. I don't know if I'm carrying all of their decades of baggage and never trying to win, but they have a number one receiver and they have an above average quarterback.
Are you ready for the bright lights of Thursday night football? Jags, Bengals.
Oh my God. Trevor Lawrence is bad. He's not good.
He looks like a rookie looks. Rookies are supposed to look like, all the rookies are starting to look like. Herbert's ruined it. Herbert has ruined it for everybody, Stugat.
Forever?
And Mahomes and Herbert have ruined it. Like, that's what quarterbacks are supposed, the game is really fast, and it's weird to get sacked 9 times, and it's hard. Like, Herbert has made it look unusually easy, because as you said, he's Jesus.
Right. He's also the new sheriff in town. How about that? I mean, a sheriff and Jesus all in one afternoon. Nice afternoon for him. He's got great hair. He just looks the part. Oh, my God. He's
so good. We made so much fun of Tannenbaum for saying he'd take him instead of Tua or Burrow.
We did. Why'd we do that?
Because we're idiots.
Lions, Ravens, most boring game in NFL history.
Oh, come on.
Right up until it wasn't.
I mean, Falcons-Giants. Falcons-Giants yesterday.
Matty Ice pulled one out.
And I mean, every game Denver plays this year.
The first time the Falcons scored in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was big. Kept them in it. Bears fans, I told you, be careful what you wish for. Dolphins are better without Tua. Tua soon? Hey, Sean McVay, we get it. You're excited. Justin Fields, how's that game speed doing now? Delay of game on a 58-yard field goal. I hate them. Ian Eagle said that there was a deflating sequence for the Jets. Ian, they are all deflating. The Bird, Miles Garrett, menace. DeSean Jackson is a Ram. I love when Brady lets you win to build your confidence, making the pain that much worse when it comes back in the playoffs and tears your heart out. He's going to do it to Stafford and McVay. You'll see. You're doubting it, aren't you?
It's on the screen.
Don't do it, Dan.
Orlovsky just said Stafford's the MVP of the season so far.
You think Brady cares about MVPs? He cares about ripping your heart out of your chest.
You mentioned DeSean Jackson. Do you realize that no one in the history of the league has more 50-yard touchdowns than that dude? 44 of them he's got, and he's still faster than everybody else. How is that possible?
I don't know. How is he that open?
He's faster than everyone else.
I know, but move back.
He's very fast.
I'm not sure how good Baker Mayfield is, and I'm not sure it matters. Someone answer this question for me. I know they lost, but what the hell are you supposed to do about DK Metcalf? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
The Clevelander Hotel sits on a famous strip of land, and it's a party palace. There are sometimes these conventions that roll through here that are terrifying. A couple weeks ago, it was the Bitcoin people.
Stugats.
They call the event 70,000 tons of metal.
It's more than that.
It's a lot of metal, man.
I mean, listen to me, Roy. I love Miami. That music has made me consider moving.
You're talking about more of like the... Like that.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
Can you guys try to get a hold of Scott Hansen for me? Because I believe he's got the yips on Tua's name. It happened to him again yesterday. And I just know this guy is a professional broadcaster who sculpts his skill. And it's in his head where he's just scared of it. I know he's practicing it at home. I know he's got it. Like I'm guessing that he's like Shaq with free throws in practice, that he can do it all the time, but he gets to it on the broadcast.
Right.
And there's not an N in there, and almost everyone pronounces it with an N in his last name.
Sometimes you practice so much, you want it so badly, you're thinking so much about it that you screw it up.
I'm scared of it too. You know? I've got to be honest. The only reason I recognize it is because I have the same fear. You may have noticed I've disguised it, but I have not said his name this segment because I am scared of it all the time because I want to put an N in his name. I want to make it Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa.
That's how you do it.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
But please call Scott Hansen because I believe he's gnawing his shoulder off.
We'll try, but Scott Hansen was in a mood yesterday, Dan. Yeah. I've never seen him be angry. And he was very clearly perturbed by what Fox did for the late slate of games. After several years of helping carry Red Zone and its programming, Fox has finally stopped giving people a reason to go to the Red Zone. You want to know what time is left in the game? So you come to a Fox channel. And the Red Zone had to come up with their own graphic to overlay over the Fox graphic because Fox, in the late games, lowered where the time was. Their running clock was lower, specifically just to get people to turn away from the Red Zone.
So you're saying this is probably the worst possible time in his career to reach out to Scott Hansen.
He is heated.
Oh, boy.
I would love to talk to him. Did you guys see? You guys have never seen this happen before, something that happened in the Arizona-Jacksonville game, where you have the confluence of events of a punt that a guy for the Cardinals is running over the sidelines to field. The referee throws a flag. The flag hits the football. The football then hits the returner's leg and bounces 20 yards away and is a fumble. Have you ever seen a referee, put it on the poll, Guillermo, have you ever seen a referee throw a flag that hits the football and causes a turnover? Football game played at any level of football.
I wouldn't think that the flag could affect the punt,
right.
But it did. Like I it must have been the hardest thrown flag ever.
No, because it's got a weight at the end. So you're hitting
Orlando Brown.
Yes, it's not just a flag. In order to get that kind of distance, otherwise it'd be a fluttering restaurant napkin that everyone.
I know there's something in it to weight it, but I just still wouldn't think that it would affect the ball.
You're throwing a roll of coins football.
I think Chris and I get the concept. It's weighted down, right? We understand that, but we just figured the Duke weighed more, you know? That's it. Like it seems odd. on that it would change the direction of a football.
All right, so you tell me, this is very basic physics, but if I were to throw a football very high and have it fall at a great rate of speed,
right,
and then I threw a flag at it that was weighted, you're not expecting the trajectory of that ball?
I would think the ball would pin the flag down. Like, I would think the ball would knock the flag down right in that spot.
You don't think do you guys know how hard it is to simply catch one of these balls with that spin? Of course.
How many times have we seen just a tip at the very end totally ruin what could be a possible catch? We saw it with Hollywood Brown.
But to send it like 20 yards, I mean, once you hit it, it changes direction.
It lands, hit his leg. It hit his leg and then bounced 20 yards. It didn't just go 20.
Catch the ball.
You don't even know what I'm talking about, and you think that the flag made it go 20 yards, which is not what happened.
I think the official did it on purpose. By accident on purpose.
There's a take.
The official plays a game where it's like, let me try to throw it and see how close I can get to the ball, and obviously you're never going to hit the ball, and then you hit the ball and you're like, crap, what do I do now?
Is that what you would be as a referee? 100%. You would be playing these little games?
Yeah, of course. You have to stay entertained.
I bet him and another official had a little side bet. Sometime this season, I will hit the ball, and he hit a bet.
You have to stay entertained. You have to be looking at everything happening around you, or you're going to get trampled.
That official's like 5 yards back out of the
action. If you look at the replay, there is a slight fist pump from the official after it happens.
Wow. You see?
My brother in Little League in right field got ejected from a game for throwing rocks at his center fielder. This would be you as an NFL referee, Billy. You would be playing these little games trying to hit the football with a flag so you can alter the result of the game. You'd be a look at me referee.
No, not to alter the result of the game, to see if I could hit the Duke, because who would think that a flag could hit the Duke and it would go 20 yards?
Again, that's not what happened.
Well, kind of did.
Looked like,
A flag hit the Duke, and it hit the leg of the returner and then bounced 20 yards.
Least surprising thing ever that Lebo played right field.
That's a very surprising thing.
That he played at all, right, is what you're saying?
You're saying he was just hitting out there in right field?
Yeah. My brother would be a running back. I think I've told you guys this before, and he would get the snap count wrong. The running play was to him because he was altering the ear hole in his helmet to make sure that the wind whistled when it came through.
It's important.
He was very fast because he was scared of everybody.
Did he have a chooch?
My father made him play, even though he didn't want to. that's not what happened yesterday. I don't understand why you would jump to the conclusion.
I don't think you watch any football games.
That's what I'm saying, Dan, right?
Not you're me.
Saying
no, Stu Gods.
What do you mean?
You gotta just
I did the play-by-play of the Packer game.
That's divest right. yourself from the Jets.
Right.
You are harming your own knowledge of the game.
Why is that?
By having the Jets on the main TV. Your season is over. Just go red zone.
Well, it's not just that it's over. We are now headed to the place where we're going to see every week these 17.5-point spreads. This is one of the worst teams we've ever seen spreads. That's because the last 2 weeks, outside of the second half of the first game, they are incompetent at offensive football. You simply can't do anything when your quarterback, you look at the precision all around the sport and the guy can't throw an accurate out.
I understand what Mike's saying. I'm watching the games, but I like to watch a game. I do. And yesterday, there were some good games that I wanted to watch.
There were a lot of great games yesterday.
I didn't stay on the Jet game. There was no reason to stay in the Jet game. But I like watching a game. Vikings Seahawks, to me, was the game I was watching. I had the Vikings in the game. The Vikings are a top five team in my power rankings. And I was watching them yesterday. So I did watch the game. Like, Kirk Cousins played very well. They did it without Dalvin Cook. They played very, very well.
You just sit there and watch commercials.
I do. I sit through commercials. I do. There is something. It brings me back to my youth. I don't know.
This is the generation gap right here.
You guys watch a game. Watch a full game.
It happened to me one time yesterday during the Dolphins game. I was watching just their game, and it went to commercial, and for 30 seconds, I left it there, and then I slapped myself in the face. I was like,
Chris,
what the hell are you doing?
The Dolphins did this to me. The Dolphins have broken me. It's not my love. Just like Mike Ryan bet Wisconsin, and it wasn't because he believed in Wisconsin. It's because he didn't believe in Notre Dame. This is not because the red zone is cracking 9 games at a time is something you snort from 1 to 4 p.m. It's just adrenaline sports. It's the pure stuff. It's also because the Dolphins have done that to me. I'm an old person. I cannot watch two slow halves of Dolphin football with commercials in the modern age if you're giving me all nine games on another channel, and not just nine games, no injuries, no commercials, and it's always scoring stuff. It's always stakes. Like, I can't, it's both of them. It's not just that that stuff is crack, it's that the Dolphins have broken me.
But Mike, I ask this seriously. When you have a 1 o'clock slate, that's Bills football team, that's Browns Bears that you care about, but I don't care about, that's Ravens Lions, that's Colts Titans, that are games I don't care about, and the Chiefs and Chargers are sitting there for the taking, why would I not watch that entire game? Knowing it's going to be a great game against two of the best quarterbacks.
But commercials.
I'm okay with a commercial or two. I mean, I am. I mean, yeah. I need a little break.
You need a little break to walk the dog.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't. I do watch singular games in their entirety, just on the second and third screens. Red Zone gets the sound. Red Zone is the show.
Right. But those 1 o'clocks were brutal, Mike. Bengals, Steelers.
No, when there were nine games, and you saw how they ended. The witching hour was amazing, even though Tony was napping during it.
Yeah, the first half of the 1 o'clock games was, there was plenty of bad football going around, but there were some exciting, crazy finishes, and like that Cardinals-Jags game ended up not being a good game, but there were a bunch of memorable, crazy things that happened.
What's going to happen with Urban Meyer? Like, this can't, that team's not any good, and they'd be the worst team in the league if not for the existence of the Jets. I'm telling you, it's really hard to watch. What, the Jets are not a professional offense. That's not, and Denver can make people look bad, but you saw, you've seen it in five of the six halves that they played. You were telling me second half of the first game. I can't imagine your misery watching that after all these years of Jets just tanking football games. And now you see, I mean, it's Stugatz. What's going on with Sam Darnold where he changes places and all of a sudden goes from looking totally incompetent to not?
Here's the problem. Here's what's frustrating for Jet fans. Even as I'm willing to sit this season out and not criticize Zach Wilson, here's where it gets really frustrating, besides the fact that I've been dealing with this for 40 bleeping years. 40 years. Same thing just about every single season. Joe Douglas is our GM, and I don't think people realize he was handpicked by Adam Gase, who is no longer the coach. That's who Adam Gase selected to be his general manager. And if you question Adam Gase, then you certainly have to question the guy he picked to run this organization. Now, we hired Robert Saleh, and I think I'm okay with that. But again, it's Adam Gase's guy choosing the head coach. But this is where it gets frustrating for Jet fans, Dan. What you're seeing in Carolina was in New York. Literally in New York. Robbie Anderson was playing for the Jets. Sam Darnold was playing for the Jets. Matt Rhule was actually physically in their building wanting to be the Jets head coach. He wanted to pick his offensive coordinator, and Joe Douglas said, no, I picked the offensive coordinator. And so what you're seeing in Carolina could easily be in New York, and they could be 3-0. Here's the problem, though. No one thinks they'd be 3-0 if all that was in New York. But it's 3-0 in Carolina. It is, and it's really frustrating to watch. I'm not going to lie to you. It is difficult. What has made this season really, really bad for me is not how bad the Jets have been. It's how good Carolina has been. It hurts. We had all of that. All of it.
Do you guys believe in the Carolina or the Denver 3-0? None of us believe in those 3-0s.
I believe in Carolina.
You guys believe in those 3-0s? Those don't feel... those don't feel soaked in suspicion to you? Uninteresting that you think Denver's going to win games 20-13 all season, 24-10?
I think Denver, listen, I picked them worst to first. You were on vacation. That's why we did that segment. I picked them worst to first in the AFC West, and I'm looking pretty
good. Over the Chiefs.
I mean, the Chiefs have one win.
But did you forget that the Chiefs are in the division when you chose them as worst to first?
No, it was a splash pick by me. I knew the Chiefs were in that division, and I still went with Fangs.
How are your picks doing?
Splash.
You started 0-9. How did your professional
start 0-9?
You did start 0-9. We documented it. You started 0-9.
I started 0-4 or 0-5, and in a separate league that me and Mike do, I was 0-4.
0-9.
Yeah, but that was in public.
But did you get anything right? It was public because you said it here on the air.
I mean, Billy would know. I think I had a decent weekend. I know we have a new addition to Stu. You got the teaser of the week that came in. I was 1-0. That's big.
Right now, you're 3-2, and you have one game tonight.
How about that? A little 3-2 over the weekend. I'm with the teaser of the week as well.
What is a teaser of the week? You give like 12 points, 9 points, 6 points?
I had the Bills and the Titans in a 2-team teaser. It was my teaser of the week. I'm 1-0 right there. College football, I'm doing pretty good. I was 3-1 last week. I think it was 500 this week.
3-3, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not terrible, Dan. I'm Blaine Gabbert.
Let's talk about a couple of these in football stories, one of them at ESPN. You see that Adam Schefter is coming under fire, and this is a totally changing landscape, Stugatz, and I don't expect ESPN to have a policy about this sort of thing because all of this is new. The gambling money, the gambling interests, what it is your Sundays feel like. ESPN and Disney are going into the gambling business like everybody else, and you know, their top Disney's top guy is being quoted as saying our fans want it and all of our customers want it. The leagues want it. Everybody wants it. So they're going into gambling. And now you have Adam Schefter looking compromised or conflict of interest because he's in a gambling app investment with Bob Kraft and others. And I understand people clinging to the last forms of journalism here, but that ship has sailed. It's gone. The gambling money, for better or for worse, whether you think it's corrosive or not, that ESPN's not going to have a policy for that because it's going to be this strange, weird thing where Disney, Stugatz, is saying, yep, bring on the gambling money because everybody wants it and we're not going to do anything other than cash. This whole landscape is about to change with all of this gambling money flooding into sports, not just ESPN, all of it, everything you're looking at and the way you consume these games, because so much money is coming and you're feeling it on these Sundays where it's just billions of dollars, a cash register on Sundays football has.
So I ask you, as someone who's a journalist and who cares about journalism, don't you have to trust Adam Schefter to continue to do his job at the highest of levels while being a partner with Robert Kraft in some sort of gambling app? Like, you have to trust Schefter
But think of what you're saying there. I mean,
it sounds ridiculous.
But think of the sentence you just uttered there is littered with conflicts of interest. And there's no going back. Like, there's no putting this back in the tube. Like, this is it. It's going to change everything.
Gambling's mainstream. Yes.
Everything that you're watching here. There have been some walls that have fallen across sports. You were just mentioning Josh Gordon. I don't know what is happening there with his reinstatements, but two walls that have fallen across sports, Stugatz, are gambling and marijuana in a way that it's been surprising to see how quickly all of that has happened, even though it seems like the most obvious thing, given the amount of money and business that you're looking at there. Those two things have tumbled in a way where you're talking about this other funny story from football, Lyle Collins. He's not even, marijuana doesn't matter anymore. It's just, he's missing tests. He's just missing 7 tests, but they're not testing for marijuana anymore. You see what's happening with the Nets, right? You saw Matt Sullivan is going to be on with us, the writer of that Nets book that went deep inside on Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant's life. Mike Ryan's got some sound here. You talk about generational gaps on how much is changing. You want to hear David Letterman at Nets practice talking to Kevin Durant?
I've been waiting for it my entire life.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I think you're going to probably be disappointed because I'm not sure Kevin Durant has
sounds so appealing,
the
though.
Same reverence for David Letterman that you have. But Matt Sullivan is reporting for Rolling Stone that what's going on in the NBA and the Nets and Kyrie Irving when it comes to vaccinations is unbelievably reckless. And a power switch is happening where basketball, which sent us all inside with Rudy Gobert and sort of taught us to take this thing seriously, and then through all manner of racial turmoil, cultural turmoil, generational turmoil, pandemic turmoil, Kyrie Irving and the Nets were at the center of successfully staging basketball somehow with Disney's help and hundreds of millions of dollars in a bubble. But now it's gone the other way. They've got Kyrie Irving hasn't shown up for media day today after this story came out from Matt Sullivan quoting his aunt saying that they're not going to play by the Kyrie's not going to play by the rules, that it's going to be like Kirk Cousins with this plexiglass thing. He's just not going to do things the way that you expect them to do them. And he's accruing power. And there are plenty of people who agree with him.
But with their sport being indoors, they have a specifically unique problem. You can maybe get away with Cole Beasley because he's just a guy on your team, not a superstar, not with any real power, and largely outdoor gatherings. In New York, you have to be fully vaccinated to attend a large indoor gathering, same as the Bay Area, and the Golden State Warriors are dealing with this right now with Andrew Wiggins.
He wanted a religious exemption. It was dismissed,
yeah.
Andrew Wiggins.
Well, and now I'm not even sure what kind of deity Kyrie Irving subscribes to. He could be anywhere from Judeo-Christian. I know he was practicing Muslim last year, but he also follows Buddhism. He's like Aldous Snow in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like, he's got that tattoo and that tattoo. They don't make sense together.
But it's required, so... In that state.
Well, his
but he's
aunt,
also very powerful.
His aunt is being quoted as saying he might not play home games. And man, oh man, is it so interesting to see the way the player empowerment mutates and corrupts, because these guys have been running that team. Matt Sullivan tells you in his book, in a way that seems unusual, the amount of power that they have accrued. They are their own economy and they know it. And that particular team can play around with this because they only need one or two of their three guys to be around. But it runs against everything the league needs, from, hey, we can't do load management. We need our stars to travel. We need our guys to be vaccinated so that they could play everywhere, so you don't undermine the team. And Kyrie Irving's over here saying, like, maybe I'll play. Or his aunt is being quoted. Maybe he'll play one out of every three games.
And you have his best friend who's running the team, who refuses to trade him to Philadelphia because he wants to play with him. Because Ben Simmons sounds pretty good when you consider that Kyrie's only going to play half the games.
But Ben Simmons, another child. Do you guys realize, okay, no matter what's going on with Ben Simmons, Shams is reporting that Ben Simmons, that the Sixers teammates wanted to fly out to see him, and he won't even grant them an audience. And it's beyond unprofessional. Ben Simmons is hiding from everything that, or trying to hide as a famous person, from everyone and everything that happened to him at the end of last season. He's and hurt, has the man. Power to do it, though, right. Stugatz, is what I'm saying. Like, this is how it's trickled down from LeBron and Wade and Bosh to these guys who are kids, and there's no demand on them to be professional because they don't have to be. He's got a contract. And he's just like,
oh, I think he would tell you they weren't professional.
Okay,
they didn't
but,
have my
but
back.
What I'm
yeah,
saying,
I get where Ben Simmons is coming
so
from.
So do I.
But it's so unprofessional to just not even want to see your teammates, to not even want, you're bailing on everything. You're undermining everything that was built there. And I understand you could sit here and side with him and say they were cruel to him and his feelings are hurt, but it's wildly unprofessional what he's doing. He's nuking the blueprint.
Yeah, but I think I understand what you're saying. I think Ben feels like, no, they bailed on me in a moment where I really needed them. Right after the game, my coach bailed on me.
Okay, but
Joel Embiid bailed on me.
You just want me to play ball so you can just trade me to Portland or wherever. I'm not a part of your blueprint. You just need me to come in and show up so I have some value. I get where he's coming from. It is unprofessional. But you're asking him to subscribe to what's going on in that sport, where the basketball players resent the power that management has because, oh, you can just trade me and get rid of me whenever you want. But when the shoe is on the other foot, I'm unprofessional?
That's correct. But that's where we are with the power shifting dynamics that you've heard the Sports Illustrated quoting an anonymous general manager. This is the worst thing to ever happen to the sport, that they have the power instead of us. That they, the ones with the economies around them, the one with the contracts, that they can take our power and nuke everything we're doing. Stephen A. Smith is reporting that Kevin Durant won't trade Kyrie Irving, even as Sean Marks is probably saying, well, let me get this injured, unvaccinated person out of here and his family so that I can get Ben Simmons to create more threes for Durant and for Harden.
Better defender, 25, willing to be vaccinated, will play every game.
Healthier.
Nick Wright has already reported that Kyrie Irving internally has threatened the Nets that if they trade him, he'll retire on the spot, too. It's the Kyrie Irving story. I mean, without saying much, like it's obviously fascinating on the surface, but I can't wait to talk to Matt Sullivan this week and find out the inner workings, because now you take Cole Beasley, only you're not exactly sure where any of this is coming from. His aunt is tapping into like some of the fake news stuff by calling him Dr. Falsey. That's not necessarily a religious exemption there. And you have Kyrie Irving, who's obviously a superstar, but he also has power within the Players Association. They have an issue here, and I'm not really sure what the answer is, and he may actually win this one.
It is such a mess, Stugatz, at the center of the sports economy.
No, but the answer is Kyrie's going to do what Kyrie wants to do, or else he's going to quit. That's the answer. I mean, he has the power. Dan's right. He has the power, and he has the backing of Kevin Durant, and that's all he needs.
Do you realize, though, how threatening that is to the people who have always had the power? As yes. Phil Jackson dismisses LeBron's posse, do you realize what we've watched in the last 11 years, for better or for worse, on how this money has contaminated it? Because the sport, never mind the general managers, the other power, the owners and Silver, have to be mortified that Simmons and Kyrie can do this to their professional organizations. Just shake them at the core with unprofessionalism and you're powerless. You've got Kevin Durant is telling you, you want to trade him. That's what you'd normally do in this circumstance. No, no, you don't have the power that you think you do, general manager. You work for me. You're my administrative assistant. You're Kyrie Irving's administrative assistant. Go out and do what we tell you to do, because we're this team's economy.
Can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm kind of okay with Kevin Durant and other players having that kind of power. Kevin Durant could have went anywhere, Dan. He could have went anywhere. He made it very clear. I'm going with that guy, and we're going to try to win a title together, and you're not breaking it up.
The league, period. The league is so lucky that Durant's shoe size was too big. Because imagine how these dudes would be doing it if they had the power of a championship on top of it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.